It's inevitable. We are in the business of self-publishing or writing books. Naturally, English grammatical errors and corrections are just a necessity of this business. But the real question comes down to when you're editing your book. Should you be editing your book yourself, or should you be hiring out a professional? Well, I'm going to give you some good news and bad news in today's podcast, so make sure that you stay tuned.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the DIY Publishing Course Monthly. With over 355 videos and downloadable resources, you have everything you need to know to start and grow your self-publishing business. The DIY Publishing Course Monthly is a subscription model program. Subscribe when you want, cancel when you like, binge all the content you care to on your time without the price of buying full retail. Visit DIYpublishing.biz for more details. A big thank you goes out to our sponsors. We just wrapped up about a month-long campaign with the Find a Way Voices team out there. So I want to say a personal thank you to Will Dagas. It was really, really awesome working with the team. If you guys have not had the opportunity and you're looking at publishing audiobooks, I no longer get financially compensated to tell you this. Go over to findawayvoices.com/Dale. I'm actually going to be uploading two books today. I'm going to be recording the process, and I'm going to end up putting that over onto YouTube. So if you're listening to this later on, I would highly recommend that you go take a look at the YouTube channel at Self-Publishing with Dale. Hit that subscribe, turn the bell notification on. That way you don't miss out on any of the stuff, because I've got a lot of stuff coming out about Find a Way Voices. This is how excited I am about them. All right, so let's talk a little bit about English grammar errors corrections. I know, it seems like a lot of words and such. Oh, man. Yeah. The truth is, folks, here's the deal. The problem that we have is we can't write a really good first draft. It's a fact, all right? I don't care who you are out there. Every single writer needs to take the time to edit their book. The real question is, you know, should you be editing your book on your own, or should you be hiring a professional? Well, yes and no. I believe that the best of both worlds is what you should be embracing, because there's still a little bit of a control process. You want to make sure that you're having some controlled burns, if you will. So for me, I'm not just going to go and send my first draft willy-nilly over to an editor, because that is a lot of time and money loss that we couldn't otherwise be able to take care of before we headed out the door. But what exactly do we need to do before we send out to someone like an editor? So I'm going to give you some of my best practices, actually six of my best practices. And I've got a big bonus tip. Actually, it's a number of bonus tips at the very end. And it's going to be some of my most common issues and some of the most common issues I see other indie authors having in their publications. So let's go ahead, and we're going to start it out with best practices for editing number one. Let it breathe. After you're done writing your first draft, I know you're probably anxious and you're like, okay, let's get this party started. Let's go ahead. Let's get that second draft wrapping up. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to do all this stuff. No, you got to give it some room. In fact, I want you to kind of think of this like a first date, right? Don't be that needy date that, like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and text and call this date right back. No, it's kind of weird. You know, you got to give it a little bit of space. That way you can kind of reflect on that first date. That way you can kind of think about some of the things that you put in to that first date, aka the first draft. So I would just really recommend that you just take your time, relax, okay? If you're really obsessive compulsive, you can always just shoot for, say, let's go ahead and do, I don't know, one day. I would recommend give yourself breathing room of maybe 1 week or even a whole month. That way you come back with a fresh set of eyes. You've got your head kind of in the right place, because let's just admit it, it's crazy. You're having to birth this idea. It's draining a lot of your creative resources. So let it breathe. The next best practice you're going to be wanting to do is the quick cleanup. Now, the quick cleanup is going to come in the form of something like, say, Microsoft Word or any number of document creation software that actually has some type of a spelling and grammar check. you're not going to worry about going through and reading the thing. We're just going to go through and fix any kind of typos, because you know my belief. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, my belief is anytime that you're cranking out your first draft, you should just be worrying about getting it out of your head and onto the manuscript. Not worrying about, oh gosh, I just spelled that word wrong. Oh no. Wait, that was the wrong type of sentence. I should have went back and fixed that sentence. Oh, there was a sentence fragment. Oh, heavens. No, you shouldn't be worrying about that when you're doing the first draft. And then what we're going to do is just blaze through everything with something like Microsoft Word. Me personally, what I like to do is I will take the actual manuscript. I'll drop it into Grammarly. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and push something that is still my favorite tool out there. And that's the premium version of Grammarly. You can still get the free one. It has some good stuff with its limitations. Go to dalelinks.com/grammarcheck if you want to set yourself up with a free or a premium account. I might recommend the premium account because it makes life so much easier. I'll do it through Grammarly. Then I'll bring it back. I'll hit it on MS Word. I'll go ahead and I'll hit the spelling and grammar check. And I go through there and I just try to just make quick and decisive, you know, actions and decisions. That way I'm just not like wasting too much time. Again, it's a quick cleanup. We don't want to be wasting our time here just, you know, oh, wait, hang on, that sentence is wrong. No, just fix the very minor infractions. Because the next step, this is the best practices for editing number 3. It's going to be the content editing. Now you're going to go back through and you're going to start to read it. And we're going to start to really focus on the big picture. Okay, what is it that we're trying to communicate? Is everything aligning as it should? Take some notes as you're going through. You don't need to fix it as you go along as you're when you're doing content editing. Just put some red pin marks. You know, put some notes where you need to fix it. Me, I typically, if I find like a paragraph that's completely off, I'll put all caps, fix this. And I'll bold it, I'll underline it, and I'll italicize it inside the document. So when I come back through, I can fix that. There's always like the editor's notes you can kind of put inside your MS Word document or any of those other ones. And then I will go through and I'll fix all of it all at once. The next step, though, is going to be the one that's, I don't like it as much because I know it's time consuming, even more than content editing. It's line editing. It's going line by line, reading each one of those and making sure that everything is matching up, that it all, you know, it's the granular level, if you will. We're taking the microscope out. So where we did content editing, we're looking at the big picture. Now we're looking at the smaller picture that adds up to that bigger picture. So each and every single line. Making sure that a sentence isn't too wordy, that you can say it in a more articulate way. That's where you're going to be really focusing on. Now's the time. Number 5, hire an editor. I know. They're like, some people are like, but Dale, I can't afford an editor. Just humor me on this one. I find so many times that indie authors get in their own dang way. And what I mean that is, sometimes they don't realize that it's not as expensive as you'd think. Yeah, there's going to be some editors out there. They're going to run you 5 figures or greater for a publication. But there are some reasonably priced editors out there that will do it at your specific, you know, budget level. Just make sure you're reaching out. And I would really recommend that if you're looking for a good editor, ask within the indie author community. You can get on Twitter and put hashtag writing community. Does anybody have any suggestions for a good cost-effective editor? Or a good editor that will work for, say, science fiction military or you know, any number of publications that you're currently using. So next is number 6, repeat the process. Now, I'm not saying go and hire an editor again. I'm saying as soon as you get those edits back, you're going to go back through and fix everything, okay? Try to go through there. And what I would recommend, and I see this far too often, is that people get offended by the editors that they're using. Stop being offended, okay? They're not here to beat you up. They're only here to make sure your manuscript's better. Now, if they're, you know, they're clearly being mean to you, like, you know, oh, well, you're the worst writer ever, you should never be on the market, you're probably working with the wrong editor. But if they're giving you some constructive criticism, then you may want to consider implementing those things or asking them to explain further before you go forward. A good editor is going to be patient enough to work with you and explain to you what the changes are that they want and why it makes sense for the end result of your book. Because here's the thing, I'd rather have an editor beat the holy heck out of my manuscript than have it go onto the market and have it just ruined with one-star reviews, one after the other after the other. It's a terrible feeling when you see all those one stars. But you know what's way less terrible is hearing it from one person who is the editor. And guess what? Your secret is forever safe with them. They're not going to go, this thing was really bad. I mean, geez, like this is terrible. Just flush it down the toilet. No, editors are just going to do their thing. They're kind of like a doctor of your manuscript. It's not like they're going out there and sharing all of your information with the world. They're just going to fix that manuscript and be done with it. So when I say repeat the process, I mean going through and fixing everything as the editor wishes. All right, before we get into the bonus tips, I just want to kind of let you know, meet up with me here every week. This is every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Daytime, every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime. That's Universal Time Coordinated on YouTube. I've made a very quick and easy link that you can actually show up to. This is where the live is always at. You go to dalelinks.com/live and join the conversation every Wednesday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. And also want to let you know every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime on twitch.tv/self-publish, we're actually recording the next week's podcast episode. So oddly enough, as I'm saying this, I'm on Twitch right this minute recording this episode, and I interact with everybody before, and I'll interact with them afterwards. Now you might be saying, Dale, what's the deal with Twitch? All right, look, I get it. It's a little overwhelming if you're not used to it, but I'm just gonna save you a little bit of the trouble. Just go to twitch.tv/self-publish. Follow me there. You're going to probably say, what's following? I'll explain in just a second. Or you can subscribe for free with your Amazon Prime membership. And subscribing, believe it or not, is a way to contribute to the channel so I can provide you even more great information. And so if you want to learn a little bit more about this, visit dalelinks.com/twitch101. Again, that's dalelinks.com/twitch101. There's an entire video playlist series on my other channel on YouTube that you can learn how to navigate and use Twitch. That way it makes more sense to you. If you're an indie author, I'm going to recommend strongly that you break ground on Twitch, because do not rest on this. Early adopters will be rewarded, and I'm already seeing a number of authors on this platform that are doing really awesome. All right, it is time for the bonus tip. And oh man, I love doing this. That button I get to press on bonus tip. You don't get to see it on the podcast, but over on the live shows, I can hit that bonus tip. It goes right over top of it. So here's the bonus tip here. Now it's going to be really big. I'm going to give you about roughly 6-7 ideas here. Started out with passive sentence structure. Oh, which by the way, these are common mistakes I do. You may or may not do it, but I see some authors guilty of passive sentence structure, and you're giving the action to someone other than the person doing it. So this is one that I just, it's typically with passive sentence structure, all you got to do is just switch. You just switch it around. So was done to. So something like that. We need to make sure that they did it. So passive sentence structure, super, super guilty of this one. The next one, number two, subject verb agreement. All right, if I get corrected so many times on YouTube, I can't tell you how many trolling comments I get where people are like, you should be saying something differently. Listen, try improv for a second here, folks. I promise you, you ain't going to be perfect at it either. So you can even hear me saying on the podcast here, subject verb agreement sometimes is a little bit off. It's almost like saying I am versus I is, although I've never said I is, but there's sometimes those things will be off. So pay attention to your subject and the actual verb that's going to be matching up with it. That way they agree with each other. So if you're looking at a first person plural of we are, not we is, it doesn't make sense. So next one, sentence fragments. What seems like great talking language does not equate to good language on literature. And you might be saying, but I want to make mine like a conversation with me. That's all well and good, folks. But honestly, at the end of the day, reading is going to be different than talking. And so some things will make sense, but I would just recommend that you just avoid the over-personalization of your comment, of how you're writing. So it might seem like, oh, this is a great idea. It sounds exactly as I'm talking. that's all well and good, but it's different when you're having a conversation versus someone reading something. All right, next one. This one here, I am super, super guilty of, I'll tell you. It is run-on sentences. I talk a lot. My wife won't disagree with me ever. I talk a lot on a bad day. So I would just say this. If you start to find that you have to take a deep breath after reading a sentence out loud, chances are it's a run-on sentence. It's probably too long. Most of the time, a sentence can really be covered no more than about a line and a half. So if you find this going like two or three lines long, your sentence is way too long. It can probably be broken up and a bit more abbreviated. So think about those run-on sentences, those sentences that are even just too long, too wordy. You don't need to get too wordy. I mean, come on, folks. All right, next one, comma use. All right, sometimes I'm placing commas. I'm a madman. I'll be like, here's a comma for you. Here's a comma for you. Here's a comma for you. You know what? You deserve a comma. I'm going to put a comma on that comma. And then there's other times that I'm just like, F it. I'm not going to deal with no commas. I don't want no commas on this because I'm a comma rebel. All right, folks, let's go easy on those commas. And also, let's make sure we're using those commas when they're needed to. I see sometimes, say, for instance, introductory type phrases. In other words, comma. You know, you shouldn't be putting something like that. Or suddenly, comma. Things like that. Think about when commas need to be placed there. But you don't need to go too buck wild on it. All right, so number six, that. Oh my goodness. Can someone please? I'm going to tell you this right now. All indie authors, 99.9%, I should say. I'm not going to go hyperbole, not all. 99.9% of indie authors are guilty of the word that. Now, if you're doing fiction and that's the way the person speaks, then that makes sense. That's cool. Keep that there. But I find too often people are abusing the word that. That sometimes is a filler word. You don't need to use that every time during the course of a sentence. And I would like to try to figure out a way that I can kind of figure, you know, put it. I wish I wrote some sentences down as a way to kind of explain it to you. In fact, here we go. Here's a good sentence. So, for instance, at the very beginning of the show, I said, binge all the content you care to on your time without the price of buying full retail. All right, so let's put this in instead with that in there. Binge all the content that you care to on your time without the price of buying full retail. You hear that? I got a little too extra wordy. It's a filler word. By pulling it out, I sound a little bit more intelligent. Binge all the content you care to on your time without the price of buying full retail. Or I could have got weird wordy and said, binge all the content that you care to on your time without the price of buying full retail. Oh, No, just get rid of that. So I'd highly recommend, you got a manuscript right now. I challenge you, open up your manuscript. You're gonna hit Control F, and if you're on Mac, you're gonna hit Command F, and you're gonna type in the word that. Find it in all of the positions in your manuscript and see if it makes sense to pull it out or to leave it in. Sometimes I'd say 9 times out of 10, you can probably just pull that out and it'll read so much better. I had someone's manuscript one time and I was on a trip, I think a 4-hour flight or something like that, and I read their whole book the entire time. And every single time on the Kindle, I'm pressing and highlighting every that, and there had to have easily been hundreds of that's within the course of this 4-hour read. It was ridiculous, the amount. So, there's a great article, folks, I want to forward you to check out Authority Self-Publishing. This is actually one of my favorite podcasts. They're no longer kind of doing their things. It's Steve Scott and Barry Davenport. They had a fantastic podcast. You get the opportunity, go back and listen to their podcast episodes. But they had a full article that talks even more in depth about some of the things actually I just mentioned, and even more of them. So you're gonna look at the great article. It's dalelinks.com/errors. And I'm gonna put that inside the podcast notes. I do wanna bring to your attention here, folks, as we start to wrap things up for the podcast episode, subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts. All you gotta do is visit dalelinks.com/apple and do me a huge favor. Drop a review. It'd be awesome. There's 8 lonely little reviews hanging out there on Apple. It would be such a huge favor. And if you're not listening to me on podcast over on Apple, that's totally cool. Some of you are like, I don't like Apple. I'll do without Apple. Well, the good news is I've got over 12 other different platforms you can take a look at, and it's continuing to expand, including SoundCloud, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, Buzzsprout, Messy, Podomatic, Spreaker, CastBox, Podbean, Anchor, and like I said, more to come. There's actually a couple that are in process. So I'm trying to make this as accessible as humanly possible. So wherever you're getting that podcast from, make sure you follow or subscribe to it and drop a review or a comment or two. It really, really, really helped me out in the meantime. And speaking of in the meantime, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.